Baptist Church family, how's everybody doing tonight? I heard about like 8 all rights over here and kind of like some like straggling amens over here. Come on, how's everybody doing tonight? Good, really good. Well, I'm glad to be here with you all. It's cool to be back in Mobile and enjoy some good sweet tea and get to hang out with some friends and family, and it's always a priority on my list to stop by Crawford and see Dr. J and Miss Pam, and you guys are awesome. Come on. And you guys have one of the greatest pastors in the world, in Dr. J. Let's honor him. Let's honor him. And before we leave tonight, we actually, my wife and I have prepared a gift from Walk Church for Dr. J, and we're going to give it to you after, because she's getting the kids situated and she'll be in. But we're blessing you with a gift tonight from Walk Church with a $100 Chick-fil-A gift card for you, Pastor, all right? And you're going to put that to good use. A whole lot of lemonades and cookies, all right? I love it. I love it. So good. Hey, I also want to bring a greeting and an update from one of your other pastors and brothers, Ryan Ivey, who is a dear friend and is a family member to you all. He is just crushing it in Las Vegas. It's a joy to have him and Kirsten as a part of our staff as he's doing a church planting apprentice with us at Walk Church for at least 1 year. He actually preached at Walk Church last Sunday, and if you didn't watch his sermon, you need to. Just go to walkchurch.com. He preached a message on a church that's rich in the Word. And I think a lot of that came out of his time here. So be encouraged, you guys, that you guys done a great job in sending out a church plant in the city of Las Vegas and helping us do that. And if God puts it on your heart to help with that, don't be shy, all right? Make a call, ask, talk, pray, and pray some more, amen? So I know he just messaged me earlier and he said, make sure that you give Crawford Baptist some love from the Ivies, so... Do y'all receive it? Amen. Yes. Amen. Really good. Well, honored to share the word with you this evening. I was praying about what God would have me share, and he put a verse of scripture on my heart that I think could be beneficial to talk about tonight, and I hope that it would be profitable for you all and that you would leave here encouraged and edified, maybe even challenged in your thinking about God, and he may even call you to do something as a result. I want to preach a message to you tonight that I'm titling The Legacy of God. The Legacy of God. For the note takers in the room, The Legacy of God. What does the word legacy mean? I think that we all want to leave a legacy. We all want to be somebody that is thought about when we pass into eternity as somebody who left a legacy on earth. Let me give you a couple definitions for the word legacy. Webster's defines legacy as a gift by will, especially of money or other personal property. Dictionary.com defines legacy as something handed down from the past. It's something that you gave when you went to your next season of life. What are you remembered by? What did you hand down? What was profitable that you left for those coming behind you? And I want to ask that question about God. What's the legacy of God? What has he left us with? And I believe it's a whole lot. And I want us to look at that question. What's the legacy of God? In a passage that we find in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 through 21. This would be a doxology closing the Apostle Paul's prayer for the Ephesian church. In these two powerful verses, we see Paul's heart and his theology of who God is. So would you turn with me to Ephesians 3, verses 20 through 21. Ephesians 3, 20 through 21. When you get there, say, I'm there. If you're ready, say, ready. If you're hungry to eat from God's word tonight, say, let's eat. Let's eat. Ephesians 3, 20 through 21, my translation that I'm looking at tonight says, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, Verse 21 says, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. God, I pray right now in the name of Jesus Christ that you would come into the room as you already have tonight, but that you would sit down on this message and that, God, you would apply it to our hearts. That maybe, God, if you're willing, by your grace, you would take your word and do what only your word can do. Open our eyes to understand your word. Open our hearts to hear and feel and sense your nearness through your word. Save people through your word. God, your word is living and active, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing through the bones and marrow, straight to the heart. So pierce our hearts tonight with your word. God, I'm not just praying for us tonight. I'm praying alongside Crawford tonight because I need to hear a word from you tonight as well. So God, teach us your word in Jesus Christ's name for your glory. Amen. Paul opens up with this verse right here, and he says, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. The first word that we see in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 is this word, now. Everybody say now. Now. Now is an important word. At the first 10 times I read this passage, I skipped right over the now. But I believe that God wants us to focus just for a moment on the now. Here's why I believe God just impressed that on my heart. Really because we see oftentimes in the Bible these highlight moments. When I say highlight moments, I'm talking about people like Abraham and Noah and Joseph and Daniel shutting the mouths of lions. And we see the miraculous works of Jesus and the Apostle Paul and Peter. And we see miracle after miracle all throughout the scriptures as if that's what God did then. But I'm convinced more than ever that he wants to do something now. Amen. That God has the ability and the capacity to still do his miraculous works now. And I'm tired of just reading about miracles in the past. I want to experience the presence of God in a fresh way now. That the God of the Bible is still the God who's here now. That he doesn't change, right? You guys know that verse? He says, I'm not changing. That same God who rose Lazarus from the dead, that same God who enabled Peter to walk on water, that same God who miraculously busted Peter out of prison and just walked him right through, like that same God, I'm reading about him, but I want to experience that same power. And God's saying, you can now. It may not look exactly the same way they did, but God's saying, I'm still able right now. The scripture says, now, at this present time, at this very moment, without further delay, immediately, at once, right now. Love what the psalmist says in Psalm 118, verse 24. He says, this is the day that the Lord has made. Amen. And I will rejoice and be glad in it. Let me just give you a word. I'm not sure what yesterday looked like for you, this past year, 2018, looked like for you, what this past month looked like for you. I just know that this is the day that the Lord has made. And so you can start right now. Like you could really start saying, I'm going to take God serious this year right now. And God keeps telling me, he keeps saying, Hayden, I'm going to take serious those who take me serious. Right? You can start right now. He continues in this passage. Paul says, now to him who is able. We know a lot of different names for God in the Bible. Some say that there's over 20 names. Some say there's close to 50 names for God in the Bible. Let's list some of the names. Come on. Let's have a conversation. What are some of the different names of God in the Bible? Yahweh. Prince of Peace. Mighty Counselor. The I Am. El Shaddai. The Messiah. Emmanuel, which means God with us. How about Jehovah Jireh, our provider, or Jehovah Nissi, the Lord is our banner. He fights for us. Jehovah Shalom, he's our rest. God has many different names, doesn't he? Right here, we find a God who's named the one who's able. That God would ascribe to himself the God who is able. I'm not sure what you think about when you think about God, but I hope that you think about the God who's able, the God who has the ability that reaches far beyond our ability. He has a capacity that busts through our lid, right? That God, you can't put him in a box because he's able to do more. He actually created the box that you put him in, right? And he's busting out of that because he is able. All throughout the Bible, we see this God who is able. I just want to remind you of some of the works of this able God. In Daniel chapter 3, verse 17, we run into these awesome brothers, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. So if you're pregnant with a baby boy, you just got some, you got three name options right there, right? Come on, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. All right. And maybe you'll pick one of those. I call those guys the hot boys because they were thrown in the fire, right? And Jesus showed up in the fire, right? And right before that, King Nebuchadnezzar said, hey, anybody who doesn't bow their knee to worship me is getting thrown in that fire and you're going to die. And they said, well, listen, here's how this is going to work, King Daniel 3:17. If this be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. I should have included the next verse because the next verse tells us that they say, and even if he doesn't, he's still God. And it doesn't change his ability whether that happens or not. Just know that he is able though, right? We see in Matthew chapter 3, verse 9, Jesus is rebuking the Pharisees for their hard hearts. He says, do not presume to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father, for I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children from Abraham. Do not put limits on this able God. Speaking of Abraham, let's go ahead and look at Romans chapter 4, verses 20 through 21. The scripture says, no unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God. He was fully convinced that God was, come on, say it with me, able, right? He was fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. We continue to look at the life of Abraham found in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 19, speaking of Abraham's test to sacrifice his one and only son named Isaac. And here's what Abraham was thinking as he marched up the mountain with his son in his hands. The text says that he considered that God was able even to raise him back from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. I love Abraham's faith right there. Right? God says, hey, I want you to take your one and only son, the son that you prayed for 100 years, and I want you to sacrifice him to me as a test of your faith. And Abraham doesn't argue. Abraham doesn't even ask why. Just incredible faith. He marches up the mountain with his son in his hands. This is just a radical passage as he lays his son on the altar. But I find it fascinating that the whole time Abraham was thinking, God will raise him back up. That even if this goes through, God has the ability to just raise him right back to life anyway. So what a faith he had. And even in that moment when he pulled out the dagger, right, God provided a ram in the thicket and said, wait, do not touch your son. We have a sacrifice, which is a beautiful picture of the gospel, isn't it? Right, that God would send a sacrifice in his only son, Jesus, who would die for us, rise for us, interceding for us, bridging the gap between us and God. He is able. Maybe tonight you would say, Pastor Hayden, I'm kind of struggling with things in my life. I've been suffering different things in my life. I keep stumbling over things in my life. I have a word for you. It comes in the book of Jude, verse 24, just one chapter. Jude chapter 1, verse 24 says, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy. He's able to do that. Maybe tonight you would say what Pastor Jay spoke to your heart. You've been thinking about your lost friends, but they're so far lost that you don't even know how God can save them. Sometimes I think about that even with my own dad and my sister who don't know Jesus. And so many friends who I grew up with that don't have a relationship with Jesus, and it's heartbreaking. But I have to circle the promise in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, that says, consequently, he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. God's able to save the uttermost lost person. God can do it. He is able. What about Hebrews chapter 2? Verse 18, when you're feeling tempted, the scripture says, because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. That's a verse we can all receive, amen? That God has the ability to help you in your temptation because he also was tempted, but he passed the test. How about Hebrews chapter 2, verse 18? For because he himself has suffered when tempted, he's able also to help those when being tempted. I was reading about the God who's able in the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 25, verse 9, as we see this guy named Amaziah have this conversation with the man of God. Maybe tonight you're like, how's God going to provide for my finances? Maybe you're questioning whether to tithe or not. Should I go all in? Should I just do 5%? Should I do 9%? How am I going to make my rent? How is God going to do it? This type of conversation was happening in the Old Testament. Amaziah said to the man of God, what shall we do about the 100 talents that I've given to the army of Israel? The man of God answered, the Lord is able to give you much more than this. Just reminded him in the moment that God's able to do more. That's a word that I want to give you here tonight, that God has the ability to do more than you can even ask or imagine. One of my favorite passages in the Bible talking about the ability of God is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. 2 Corinthians 9, 8 says it like this. God is able to make all grace. Everybody say all grace. All grace. God's able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. It's that reminder that God has the ability through his great grace and his sufficient grace to provide and meet every need that you and I have tonight. I think some of us sometimes forget how big he really is, how good he really is, and how far his grace really extends. He has the ability to make all grace abound to who? To you. Look at the person next to you and say, to you. To you, just make sure everybody got covered. To you and to me, all grace extends at all times. That's the type of God we have. This is the God who is, this is the God who is able. And maybe you would say, that sounds really good, but what is he able to do? We have the answer in this passage in Ephesians 3:20. The scripture says he is able to do. I just want to stop right there for a second. He's an action-packed God, isn't he? God is a doer. God gets stuff done. God says, I'm able to do far more abundantly beyond all. This is an incredible sentence. You may have to follow up with Dr. J on this, but I've been studying this passage in depth and looking at these different words, and many scholars believe that this is a made-up sentence from Paul, that Paul didn't quite know how to describe God and his ability, that he said, I'm just going to pick every word that I can to try to define him. If we can, I want to put these words up on the screen for you. He says, he's able to do far. The word far means a great distance. That God is able to go a great distance. He's able to go further than you could go. Don't rush past the far, amen? God's able to do far, let's keep going, more. What does the word more mean? The word more means a greater amount or measure. God is able to do more in your life. I was reminded of this even today. As I was sharing these verses with my wife, Nina, she brought me back to a time in our lives that I was like, whoa, She said, what did you think of when you thought about the God who is able? She goes, can I tell you what I think of? And I said, tell me. She reminded me of a trip that we took to Mobile, Alabama 2 years ago, where we were blessed to stay in a beach house. And one of the reasons why we were blessed to do that is because we just had a miscarriage. And it was a difficult time in our life. And we were walking through that, trying to think through that, navigate through that. And some of our partners here in Mobile said, let us just bless you with a little vacation. And it was a tough time, but it was a healing time. And then we came back this time with a new baby boy named Asa and another baby on the way. Come on, somebody, right? And she's like, I'm realizing, my brother's clapping, we all clapping. Come on. That's our house rules tonight. If one person claps, we all clap, all right? We're going to not don't let them feel awkward. I'm a clap. I like clapping, right? But it was this reminder that God's able to do more, right? Like the chapter wasn't, the story wasn't closed. God's saying, hold up, I'm able to go further. I'm able to do more. But he doesn't just stop at more. He's able to do far more abundantly. What does the word abundant mean? Occurring in large amounts, well supplied, oversufficient, great in quantity. God is able to do abundantly more. Paul is just making up words here because he doesn't want us to limit God's ability. He's saying he's not just able to do far more. He's able to do far more abundantly. And he doesn't stop there. He goes, let me add beyond. He says, God's even able to go beyond the abundance. I think about abundance. I think about as a dad of small kids, I sometimes make milk bottles. And the other day I was pouring some milk in a bottle and I got distracted real quick. And I poured it and it just overflowed all over my hands. Can anybody relate? Anybody? Okay, we got a couple head nods. Yep, and God was reminding me in that moment, he's like, I got the ability to do more, to spill over, to just blow the top open and do more. I don't know exactly how that fits. This is not prosperity gospel. I'm not saying that you should just go to God to get more. That's not the point of the message. I'm just trying to let you know that he has that ability because maybe that needs to be applied to your marriage. And you need to be reminded that God's able to do more. Maybe that needs to be applied to your job. And you're thinking that you hit your limit. Or you're thinking that you don't know how this is going to work. And you just need to be reminded that God's able to do more. Maybe God is working with you in your household. And you're like, I got nothing left to give. I'm just stressed out. Go to the God who is able. Because he was once under a tree sweating drops of blood, right? He's able to do more in your life. That God has that ability to go beyond your ability. And that's good news, isn't it? That when you're tapped out, that's a good thing because he's able to do more. Jesus once looked at the disciples and he said, I know you guys are tired, but guess what? The Spirit's willing, even though you're weak. That's a good reminder for us that God is able to go beyond and do more. How about the word all? Sometimes you hear us say, what's the Greek say about the word all? All. You don't got to make it more difficult than it needs to be. The word all means all. God is able to do far more abundantly beyond all. Now watch this. You ready for some really good news? All that we ask. Ephesians 3:20 says he's able to do all that we ask. This is a verse of scripture that better motivate us to pray. James chapter 4, we see Jesus' brother, James, the servant, say, you have not because you, do y'all know it? Because you ask not. I totally believe in the sovereignty of God, 100%. But this verse causes some trouble sometimes because you know what it means? It means you might have had it if you would have asked it. He says, you have not because you ask not. Dr. J quoted the verse in his prayer, Matthew 7, verses 7 through 8. It says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek, you will find. Knock, it'll be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, come on, it will be opened. The God who is able is saying, ask me, ask me, ask me, and then ask me again. Keep knocking, keep seeking, keep looking, and you'll find me. Ask me. God is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we can even ask. Now, maybe you would say today, that sounds really good, but sometimes my prayers are so deep that I don't even have words, that my heart is so heavy, I can't even ask, that I feel so unworthy, I can't even ask it. I can only think it. There's a good news for you as well. Ephesians 3 verse 20 says, God's able to do far more abundantly beyond all that you ask or think. That even the things that you're thinking, God says, yes, I can do that too. Whatever you ask or whatever you think, some of your translations say imagine. The greatest things you can imagine, God says, yeah, I can do that and more. I can do that and even go beyond that. I can do that and I can even break through that. You got to ask me and you got to believe me and you got to think it and trust it. A.W. Tozer once said, this great revivalist, he once said, the most important thing about you is what comes into your mind when you think about God. Think about that. What comes into your mind when you think about the God of the Bible? That's the most important thing about you. It's not your GPA. It's not the job that you work. It's not the number in your bank account. That's not the most important thing about you. The most important thing is what comes in your mind when you think about God. I would be convinced tonight that our big God theology is likely not nearly big enough. That it could probably get bigger. It could probably expand a little bit. That God is saying, you need to grow in your thinking of the one who breathes out stars. He's bigger and he can do more. God had to teach me this past week. Literally 5 days ago, I was in South Asia, specifically in India, and was on a mission vision trip. And I was walking through the slums of this city in India where we were placed. And I was with a missionary there. And as you see on this picture right there, I stopped with this missionary who lives there. And we had a translator who was a native there of the language. And I said, okay, what are we doing today? Where are we going? And we were in this marketplace right here. And he points up and see where all those homes are on the top. He says, we're going to go up there. And I said, okay, what are we going to do up there? He said, we're going to go share. We're going to go share. We're going to go share the gospel. We're going to go share our story. We're going to go talk to people and see if we can, if God would open a door to gospel conversations in an area that is just completely full of Hindus and Muslims. Maybe there would be a Christian in between, but most likely not. Some unreached, unengaged people groups are in that area. And he said, we're going to go up there. And I said, oh, snap. Like, he's serious. And so we prayed and we said, God, open the door and we're ready. And we began walking through these neighborhoods that just felt dark. And after walking about past 20 to 30 different Muslim women with the whole burqa set on and different Hindu gods all around the doorposts of all the houses, the elephant gods, lowercase g, and all the different symbols of idol pagan worship. And we're in these little village neighborhoods. I started to feel small, what are we doing? How are we going to do anything here? And then God spoke to me. He said, hold up now. Did you forget Ephesians 3:20? That I am the God who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that you can even ask or think. think. And I needed to quote that scripture in my heart. And I said, God, the God who is able, do it. We're walking and we're just prayer walking and just looking for opportunity. And all of a sudden, these four guys motion to us in this area and say, come on over here. Right? I'll show you a picture of these guys. These guys say, come on over here. And we're like, okay, there's some opportunity, right? This was 5 days ago. Okay? They say, hey, come on over here. One of those guys could speak English just enough. He said, what are you doing here? And this was my moment. I was like, so I just like to travel. And I like learning about other religions. And I'm specifically a Bible teacher in America. And I wanted to learn more about what you do here. And I'd love to meet some people here, is what I said. And he said, oh, very, very nice. Well, I'm glad that you're here. And our translator started to translate. We started talking about fashion and America. And I had a wristband on with all these different icons that represented the gospel. One that was a little world sign. One that was a cross. One that was a bridge of the gap. And I said, can I share a story with you? He said, sure, share a story. And I got to walk him through the wristband. I gave all those guys wristbands. And they got curious about the gospel. And while I was sharing, another guy came up. You can see him. He's behind the guy in the green. He's in the background. And so I'm sharing with this guy. And after I get done sharing with this group of men, he says, hey, before you guys go, in his own language, he says, can you come to my house? And we're like, where's your house? And he's like, right over here. Just follow me. By faith, we're like, all right, we're going to his house. So we walk through these little areas and cricks and crevices, and we're now sitting in this guy's living room, which is his house in full. It's about the size of your walk-in closet, all right? His house. And he's so excited that we're there. He's trying to clean and make everything nice. He's getting us cups of water, and he says, wait, before you start talking, I want to go get my uncle. I want to go get my brother. I want to go get my mom's sister and her daughter. And so we're there. We're just sitting there. And all of a sudden, we have a house full of people. And he goes, okay, we're ready. Share with us. Come on. I praise God for the moment. And I started off and I said, how many of you have heard of Yeshu, Jesus? And our translator asked a question, and there's probably about 12 people in the house, and there's a few of them that say, I've heard of him, and a few have said, never heard of him. Right? I'll show you a picture. This is the picture of the family in the house. We took a picture afterwards, if we can pull it up. That's them right there. Now, this is a completely Hindu family that all they know is worshiping the Hindu god and goddesses of Ganesh, right? We started talking about faith, and this guy had a light switch. He said, oh, faith, yes. He flicks a light switch, and in the corner of their little home, they have a whole lit-up shrine to the elephant god Ganesh. They said, that's what we believe. That's our god. It was all lit up. It was different little idols. I felt like I was living in the book of Acts right there in that moment. They said, so teach us what you teach, what you believe. And I was able to walk through the gospel story. Now, none of them came to faith. None of them responded and said, yes, I want to believe in that Jesus. And we created an opportunity for them to do that. But here's what this guy said. He said, can you come back next week and share with me and bring Hindu Bibles, Bibles that were written in the Hindi language, so that they could read it for themselves and they could do a teaching on what we believe about Jesus. Now watch, it gets even better. That while we're teaching this, one of the guys in the room says, this is amazing. And I said, what's he saying? What's he saying? Because I could see on his face, he was all lit up. He said, I had a dream about Yeshu this morning. That he showed up in my dream and now you're here. And I said, you guys, listen to me. I'm from the whole other side of the world. I don't know how I got here either. I just know that I'm here in your living room. He had a dream about Jesus. God's trying to tell y'all something. He's saying you need to believe and repent of your sin and turn from these false idols and trust and put your faith in Jesus. He said, we've lived in this little square house for 50 years. How about it's been 50 years and the gospel made it into that home that day? Come on, right? And so the guy who was leading us, one of our IMB missionaries that lives there and works in the field there, says, give me your name. Give me your address. Give me your WhatsApp phone number. I'm coming back here. Let's make a date right now. He said, next Wednesday, 4 o'clock p.m., I'm going to get all my family here. We're going to gather. I'm bringing the mango juice, he said, and we're going to have a Bible study. You bring the Bibles. I'll bring the crowd. And it's a date. We're praying for it. It's coming up in a couple days. They'll be there. We walked outside of this house, and I was like, that was just an Ephesians 3, God is able moment. And if I show one more picture, it was so neat because all these kids started coming around. What were y'all doing in there? What were y'all doing in there? What an open door. Passing out wristbands, talking about Jesus. One kid had a picture of Jesus in his pocket. He says, I've been carrying this picture around. He goes, they were like, we think he believes in Jesus. He found this picture. I just said, hey, come next Wednesday. God's doing something in this remote village. I just want to remind you that God is able to do more than you can even ask or think. God continues to remind me of these things. That God is an answerer of the prayers that we ask and even the prayers that we think. I love Abraham and Sarah's story, right? As they prayed to have a baby for many, many years, and it wasn't until Sarah was age 100 that the angel visited her and said, next year at this time, you're going to have a baby. It says that she laughed in her heart. And the angel said, why are you laughing? She said, I'm not laughing. He said, yeah, you're laughing in your heart. God's able to do more than what you can even think. I love the testimony in the Christmas story of Zechariah and Elizabeth, that in their older age, a very similar account, the angel shows up and says, you guys are going to have a baby. Now, I'm tempted to think that they weren't praying for that in their older age, which means that they prayed a prayer in their younger age that God never forgot about. Can I remind you that your prayers never die? Prayers never die. The answers that God gives us is probably one of the three. God will either answer your prayer with yes. God will either answer your prayer with not yet. Or God will answer your prayer with, I got something entirely better. Which I would say is his way of saying no. That God's no is really just, I got something better for you. And I'm not going to let you settle by giving you what you asked for. That our prayers never die. So let me ask you this, Crawford Baptist Church, what have you stopped praying for? What have you given up on? What person have you given up on? What person or what thing or what item or what resource or what passion or what dream have you said, you know what? It's not going to happen, because what you're saying is God's not able to do it. And I was sent here tonight to tell you that he is able. Now, let's have faith like Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. God, you don't have to do anything. If anything, he's done more than enough. That Jesus plus nothing equals everything. That we don't need anything else but Christ. Him and him alone is enough. But Paul tells us here that, yes, that's true, and he's able to do more in your life through Christ in you, the hope of glory. Jesus himself said, greater things you'll even do through me in you. Let's go ahead and stand on Ephesians 3, that he is able to do more than all that we can even ask or think. This is good news, amen? This is good news. And for the lost person, isn't this bad news? Here's why I say this is bad news. Because look at all that they're missing. Psalm 14 verse 1 says, the fool says in his heart, there's no God. Why is it foolish to say that there's no God? I'll tell you why it's foolish. Because you could have the God who's able. Think about all that you miss. You miss the God who's able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we can ask or even imagine. So let's, friends, go to him. Bring all your struggle to him. Bring all your burdens to him. Bring all your fears to him. Bring all the things that you stop praying about, pull them back out and say, God, I'm opening this file again. Investigate it. I'm praying over it. I'm lifting it up and saying, God, you are able. I like how John Piper says it when he talks about thinking about God rightly. He says, if you don't see the greatness of God, then all the things that money can buy become very exciting. If you can't see the sun, you'll be impressed with a street light. If you've never felt thunder and lightning, you'll be impressed with fireworks. If you turn your back on the greatness and majesty of God, you'll fall in love with a world of shadows and short-lived pleasures. He's saying, man, God's so much bigger. Fall in love with him. A.W. Pink, revivalist, says, happy the soul that has been awed by a view of God's majesty. That we could maybe walk out of here and say, man, God is bigger than I even realized. And he's better than I have ever given him credit for. Do that in my life. Before we close, we'll just work our way through the next part of this passage. Ephesians 3, verse 20 says, to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. Now, how about that? That he's able to do this according to the power within us. That word power, dunamis, it's where we get our English word dynamite. The dynamite power of God is in us. Oftentimes, I have to remind myself that the same power that rose Jesus from the grave 2,000 years ago is the same power that's in me. It's the same power that's in you. You can say no to sin because of the power that's in you. You can say no to lust of the flesh and prides of life and the things that are causing you to stumble or fear. You can say no to those things because of the power that's in you. And you can say yes to God because of the power that is at work within us. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14 remind us, it says, in him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance, with a view to the redemption of God's own possession, to the praise of his glory, that God has sealed us, come on, with his promise. And he is powerful. And he is at work within us. So as we close, I just want to ask you this question. What have you stopped praying for? What have you given up on? What more does God have for you in your life? It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter how young you are. It doesn't change the fact that God is able. He's able to expand the capacity of all that we ask or think. Just on the way here in Mobile, my wife Nina got a text message from a young lady that she shared the gospel with 5 years ago. This lady met up with Nina. She was a co-worker in the same restaurant industry. She said, hey, can I meet up with you? They met up together at a coffee shop, and this lady shared with Nina. She said, hey, I'm living a homosexual lifestyle. I know that you're a believer in Christ. Give me some wisdom. And Nina shared with her just her faith, her testimony, and how God can work in her life, that he's able to do more, that he's got a better plan and all these different things. And she said, thank you. I receive it. Maybe we'll connect again someday, but thank you for what you shared with me through the Bible. Now, Nina lost touch with her for 5 years. That was it. And on the way, Nina got a text message from this lady. She said, hey, is this Nina? She said, yes, who's this? And she said, it's me, the girl that you shared with 5 years ago, remember at the hotel? She goes, hey, what's up? How you doing? She goes, I just wanted to thank you for your spiritual investment in my life. You may not know this, but back then you shared with me something that changed me. I'm married and my husband and I have a baby, and I think about how God worked through you back then. I just want to let you know that what happened then changed me to who I am now. And Nina said, whoa, God is able to do more than I even thought. So I want to encourage you tonight that God's able to do more. that God was able to raise up a church planter out of this church and send him to Las Vegas. Come on, he's able to do more. That you guys have set prayer goals, I know. That this year you want to see more things happen. That you want to see God raise up and show up and show off in ways that he's never done it before. Let me just remind you, he's able. He is able. As we close, I'll just read this last verse of the doxology and we'll respond to the message. Verse 21 of Ephesians 3. Let's read it together. We'll read this in closing. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen.